This is a content warning. All episodes of Mysteries Unknown may include foul language, fantasy violence, blood and gore, and worst thing of all, sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, listeners. Welcome again to the Mysteries Unknown podcast for this City of Mist case. V is for going viral. I am, as always, your master of ceremonies, Hunter. And joining me today, as always, we have Javi.
What's up? By now, you probably know I am Javi, and I am playing Aiden, the Rift of the Bottom of the Ocean / Cthulhu.
Up next, we have Devil.
Hello, hello. I'm Devil. I'm playing Marcus the Boyce, the Rift of Yoshimitsu.
And last but certainly not least, Cheshire.
Hello, I am Cheshire, and I am playing Cody Hallowell, the Rift of Bloody Mary.
All right. Before we get started, there is some mechanic I want to do really quick. So, Javi, where we last left off, Aiden did a stop holding back to save his friends and defeat Project Bell. What I'm going to have you do, I want you to market attention on that mythos theme. And because of the excellent role playing that was, since everyone else has already gotten one, I'm going to give you a +2 to use once time for any role.
Damn. Okay. Sounds good to me.
So letting you have that, it's like everyone else has had one, so it's only fair that you get one too. So at some point.
Awesome. So it's an attention on my, what's it called?
Your mythos.
Yes, 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 my mythos.
Yeah, I think you only have the one currently, correct?
Yeah, yeah, it's just the one.
All right. Trying to get my laptop all sorted over here. Thought it was turned. All right. We cut to a room. In this middle of the room, it's derelict with a table with a single light hanging above it and three chairs just sitting around it. We all see as Aiden, Cody, and Marcus walk out from the shadows and sit down at this table. It's almost like a perfect triangle how y'all are sitting and looking at each other. And this is going to be a three-way voiceover monologue / recap of what happened last session. So you all can take it away. You can converse with each other how you wish, but this is how we're doing it for this session.
Okay, so I think we're already sitting, and I kind of, considering what happened last session, I guess we're all sort of shaken up a little bit, but like we're feeling sort of triumphant. I think it's sort of safe to say, but I kind of open up with like, okay, so a lot happened back there.
Right.
A little bit of an understatement, but yes.
I mean, we kind of just went to the facility, I guess, to see what was going on, but we found a lot more than that, didn't we?
Oh, so much more.
Well, I mean, Cody, when you told me that you got like a lead for, I don't know, some abandoned facility Helix Lab thing that your dad was talking about, I really wasn't, really didn't want to go.
But yeah, it was kind of the first time you've ever been that skittish.
Yeah, I mean, there's good reason, right? Like, I kind of didn't tell you guys that my parents worked at Helix Labs, but I mean, I will be the first to say you were right. We did find some good information on Victoria. Yes, Victoria.
Veronica. Nice try, though.
Close. I was about to say Veronica, yes.
I was close.
Yeah, no, that me being right thing going in my diary right now.
Yeah, what does your, I mean, I would never ask, but you're always writing. What do you usually write about?
just keeping track of everything that goes on, important stuff to remember. With everything in school, just easier to keep notes, I guess.
Oh.
Makes sense.
Right.
But, I think we need to talk about the elephant in the room. Your dad built that thing for you. At a time when I'm guessing he actually knew how to smile, which is a little hard to contemplate. Why? Was it just supposed to be a gift and it went sideways?
I'm guessing so. Something must have gone wrong at the facility. I have a feeling it has to do with the twins, or at least the start of that.
Not to mention it had that purple mist that it could shoot out. It cut us off from our abilities.
Yeah, I've had mine for so long that was very uncomfortable.
I haven't had mine for very long, but just to think I almost died there was a little, and by my own hand, no less, was a little concerning.
I wasn't going to let you, or I was going with you one way or the other.
I appreciate it. Speaking of, how are your hands?
They'll be fine. I'm pretty sure my tagline at this point is, that happens sometimes.
Also, speaking of things happen, you stopped holding back. I mean, you crushed it like it was nothing.
yeah, that was, that was different. I don't know. Okay, and I know this is going to sound really weird, but ever since we started staying at Cody's place, there were these... Any of you have, like, any weird dreams at all?
Define weird.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might have been pretty, you know, on point for me.
Okay, all right. The first time that we stayed over... I had, like, this very weird dream about, I don't know, I was just, like, floating underwater, and there was this, like, a voice that was speaking to me, telling me to, I don't know, give in and, like, for what I would assume would be to my powers, or, you know, there's no risk without, like, or there's no reward without any risk, and... I don't know, it was like this creature at the bottom of the ocean. But at first I was afraid. And I don't know. I guess I just started to listen to it. And like the rooms that we slept in, they were like oddly catered to our gifts. You know? The whole thing was weird, but it all came to a head when the bellbot just wouldn't let us leave, and it was just either fight or flight, and we didn't have the option for flight. So something just sort of, I don't know, gave way.
Well, now that you mention it, my dreams have been oddly tailored to my abilities as well.
Right?
Yeah, the first one, I killed you two in it.
Wait.
All right, hold on.
Hold on.
Reverse, rewind a minute. What?
Yeah, the,
Reverse.
the very first dream I had, I killed you two in it. It was a very out-of-body experience. I was watching myself, or at least it felt like I was. At first, there was just a battlefield and a sea of bodies. And then they just condensed down into you two. And that's when I woke up. The second dream, I was in a field and there was an old man. And he simply asked me, was I ready to wield this sword? And do I understand what wielding it means? I told him yes, but after what just happened, I'm not so sure.
We're high schoolers. You're not expected to wield the world right now. And you've got time. Or maybe. We'll figure it out.
I'm glad you're optimistic about this.
Man, it's more the fact that you're not really alone in trying to figure it out anymore. You spent so much of your life trying to hide it. We'll figure it out.
Tell me about it.
And I'll say at this moment, it kind of pans out and it transitions over to where we left off at the end of the last session. The three of you in this lab, now just looking down over this crushed cube ballerina bot. Aiden just breathing heavily as he looks at it. Marcus just watching with widened eyes. And I would imagine Cody too. But you also feel as there's blood trickling like just off your hands and just dripping onto the floor.
Yeah, probably like from her, like tear ducts down her face too.
Does anyone say anything in this moment, or is it just complete silence?
I think at this point for Cody, it's a lot of heavy breathing.
Yeah, I kind of go like in between the gasps of, or like, you know, breathing heavily, I'm just like, is everyone okay? Are y'all here?
Been better, but yeah.
Yeah, no, we're here.
Okay, good.
Holy crap, you fucking crushed it like it was nothing.
I don't know what happened. I just did it. You know what I mean? There's no other way to explain it.
Question, did you turn around to face them when you're talking, or is your back still turned to them and you're just looking over your shoulder?
Yeah, but it's sort of like looking behind me kind of thing, right?
So your back is still facing them though, currently?
Yes, yeah.
Marcus?
Yeah, Cody will probably like poke the tattoo and be like, that's generally new.
I was about to say, you see the top of his new, like, octopus-like tattoo just kind of poking out from the top of his shirt.
That's new.
I'm like, wait, what's new? What? You just looking at?
She'll turn the front-facing camera on her phone and just kind of, like, hold it up.
And that's when I, like, I, like, look behind me and I look at the phone and I'm just like, wait, what the hell? What is that? And, like, I, like, roll the back of my shirt up. Kind of
roughly
thing.
Like $1,000 for free.
I mean, it's got clean line work, I'll give you that.
And I'm like, take a picture, I want to see.
Take your shirt off? It's kind of like awkward, like, you can't move the shirt.
Okay, then I'm just like,
only
the
top of it's showing.
And I'm like, oh, right. Then I, like, take my shirt off. And
she'll take a picture for him and, like, send it to their group chat for posterity.
So, Cody and Marcus, you can sense just, like, the little bit of power that's coming just from that tattoo on his body. Aiden, you feel, like, the power coursing through you, all coming from that point where the tattoo is on your back.
I'm like, it's almost like a tingly sensation, like on my back, like almost like a fresh tattoo, but I guess it's like electric, you know? And I'm like, I would say even like I feel rejuvenated, like it's like a slow sort of like recharge, like, you know, like the Halo shields. Like when you
complete exactly. With the awkward vibration sound.
Yeah, exactly. So like I was tired a second ago, but like now I'm sort of just like, whoa, I feel good. And I like do a stretch, like I just woke up.
Good, hold on to that, you might need it. And she's gonna like take one of her like Kleenex from her pocket and just like wipe at her face, like, eh. Sticky grossness.
And I think you also realize as you do that, like the blood that's still like come dripping like from your hand as you do that.
Yeah, because yeah. You take the nap and you're like, oh shoot, my hand.
Yeah, she's kind of just like, well, this is a thing now. Just kind of like.
Yeah, Marcus would kind of be like, oh, fuck, you touched it.
Yeah, I touched it. You were going to stab yourself.
Yeah, no, that was badass. Like, you just, like, teleport over and you grab the sword. And it was like,
blood's kind of my thing. It just exists in my literal everything. Whatever.
I mean,
I've never been able to say a sword's drank me before. That's new.
That brings up an interesting question now. Marcus?
Yes?
From Cody's blood getting sucked by Muramasu, did it affect the sword in any way?
The pommel of the sword would be like the little cap on the handle. You now see a tassel hanging through with a bead on it that you could like slip your hand through. And not only that, but if Mark has actually unsheathed the sword now, you will see the sword straight up. It's glowing. It's a beam sword. It's a lightsaber.
Oh, joy. I'm a fucking 90s cell phone charm.
I would say, like, if you could actually look at the blade, it's a lot more reflective now than it was before as well, on top of that.
Yes, it's like, well, the actual, so the sword itself, if you actually look at the core of it, you have to really stare at it. You can see the actual blade. If you're just kind of glancing at it, it literally looks like a lightsaber. It has like, it's like a midnight purple kind of color.
Aw, we're connected.
Like, it's sheathed right now, so you can't actually see it. Marcus doesn't even know this yet, so it's just kind of there. He sees the charm, and he's like, oh, it's changed. But at the same time,
out of character, that precious.
But, he can see the sword and see the charm on it, but he's like, he hasn't drawn it yet, so like he would probably be like, oh, it's different again.
What does the charm look like again?
The actual charm itself is, it's like a red, like tassel, almost like a, for lacking words, like horse hair kind of tassel. It's very frilly.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, like the little fluffy things.
Yeah.
I get it now, yeah.
Like from a tapestry, but tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very frilly. And it's the actual color of the tassel is midnight purple as well to like match the blade, and the bead on it is green.
Cute,
dude! I love that midnight purple. Why does that sound so cool?
Midnight purple is a dope color.
Is the blade glowing midnight purple?
Yes.
So you're Samuel Jackson now.
Basically.
I have to look up midnight purple. What does that look like? Anyways, continue.
But yeah, Marcus would look at him and the blame. Oh, it changed again.
Oh boy, sword puberty.
I don't like that. Don't ever say that again.
Gosh, just kind of like awkwardly laugh. Like, I needed to say something. This is weird. And she's gonna just like wrap her hand in like a torn piece of her shirt. Like, I had to say something.
Dude, sword puberty.
And with Marcus, he wouldn't like fully draw it. He would like flick it out. He would like, so you see like the edge of him, you would see that purple glow kind of like come out the sword. And it's like,
shiny.
Oh, you kind of go like, dude, nice.
Oh, it glows now. That's very different.
Hey, quick question. What time did we say y'all arrived at the lab?
Oh.
It was like,
it was evening. We're probably reaching like night now.
Yeah, we're reaching like night.
Oh, I thought y'all went like the afternoon, because then I was going to say, oh yeah, it's like several hours have now passed somehow, even though it felt like only minutes.
Yeah, no, like,
yeah, no, I'd say we're like reaching like the dinner time, quote unquote.
Yeah,
like late evening, I would say.
Yeah, because we left early enough to go get breakfast, which I think we said was like 11, 10:30-ish, and then traveled for an hour or so. So yeah, it's probably like reaching the 5:30 point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll just say really quick, there's a beep from whoever has a watch on, and you look at it, and it says like 6 o'clock now.
Probably Marcus. I can see Marcus with a smart watch.
And yeah, even though like y'all got there early, and it only felt like in minutes, y'all were like stuck in this state. Hours have passed.
Oh wow, we've been here a while.
Wait, what time is it?
It's 6 o'clock.
Oh shit! I mean,
well, then I guess it's time to finish what we started and get the hell out of here.
I would agree.
Yeah, let's get out of here. And I like put my shirt back on. Firstly, it's cold.
Oh, I thought your shirt was still on. I forgot you took it off.
Yeah,
it was just for the picture. So yeah.
Yeah, and
you're shirtless this whole time.
Hey, it's proper right, like anime moment there. You know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So does that mean shirtless but no nips then, like they do in some anime?
Ken dolls.
Yeah, yeah, Ken dolls.
He's golly.
Topical for the Barbie movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
But, I guess it's time to figure out where we need to go.
Okay.
So y'all are making your way out of the Helix abandoned lab now?
Mm-hmm. And I sort of ask, I'm like, hey, do we have enough, do we have info to, tell your dad or anything?
We can still tell him about Victor. And then Marcus also mentioned, there's that other door across the hall that opened up before all this happened.
No, the door across the hall was the one that led you to Project Bell.
Yeah,
that was the only door that opened up down there.
Sorry, apologies.
No, it's okay.
You're good. You still do have a master key to access any of the other rooms, should you wish. But they're all, I think I described a lot of them earlier last session, so.
Yeah, all samey.
So she'll just kind of nod and say, I think so. I mean,
do we even want to tell him what we found? Because, this seems, very, confidential, We could tell him about the bodies out at the front, but.
Yeah, he asked us to figure out what was going on with the students. We figured out what was going on with the students.
Yeah.
We also figured out the actual, depth of what was happening to originate it, so he's got more to go off of.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, as far as Mr. Hollowood knows, he didn't know that y'all went to investigate Helix Labs, the abandoned facility. He does not know that part.
No, that was Cody's whole, we went above and beyond to find the absolute source for this.
Okay, good. All right, so, yeah, I guess we just head out of here. Are we going back to your place, or are we going to look for...
Probably should go back to my place for the sake of tracking back in, getting you food, and taking care of this. Just generally gestures to her hands.
Yeah, that might be best.
I need to go, sit in the mirrors for a little bit, and I just feel safer doing it at home.
I'll say y'all are having this conversation as y'all walk up, get in the elevator that's now been opened up, head back up. And you all just walk through that slot in the lobby, right out back out to Cody's car.
And yeah, just stepping over the bodies. Oh, that's my cat. Sorry.
I thought that was Devil. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was him laughing because that's how he sounds sometimes when he starts to laugh.
No, that was my cat. He jumped
in. Oh, hello, kitty. Welcome to the stream.
Oh, man.
Yeah, straight cat walks by from the forest, just
right.
It's purple. It's a purple cat.
Yes, it's a purple perfect cat, and it's as soon as we step outside, there's just a random cat that runs by.
It's perfect. I love it.
And as soon as you all look away from it, it dissolves into itself and disappears.
Yeah, yeah, it just fades out. It's just we're starting to see more mist related things.
It's the Cheshire cat.
I see what you did there. So yeah, we just make it back to Cody's place.
Yep.
So it's gonna take you still a little while to get there. End of day, dinner rush, traffic, and all that. Is there any conversation happening in this car, or is it just dead silent at this point?
Cody's probably quiet unless somebody says something.
Yeah, yeah, it's I would say it's
radio. Radio time.
We're tired.
Yeah, so before anyone wants to say anything, I want to know what's going through Cody's head as she's driving back.
Ow, my hands hurt. But also, a lot of processing what she saw. If this was a TV show, it would be the little scene flashes of bits of what the Bellbot said, what she saw in the mirror, and then her dreams, flashes of stuff she's done at school that she doesn't quite feel proud of, and probably how little she'd been able to do to help the group up until grabbing Miramasa, and probably a lot of self-hate which isn't necessarily new for her, but is in this degree. So it would more than likely seem like she is staring off into space, but I promise she is being a safe driver.
Nice.
Right. Aiden or Marcus, is anything going through y'all's heads at this moment too, as Cody, as y'all are heading back to Cody's place?
Yeah, I would say that, like, Aiden definitely is starting to reconsider, like, I think we talked about this before, but, like, he's having a, like, major reconsideration of his priorities, and, like, he went from sort of ignoring all of the mist-related activities around him, including his own abilities, and just, like, focusing on swimming and, like, you know, being good at, you know, like, cutting time off of his laps and, you know, waking up every morning to train, to being like, damn, okay, like, I could actually do things to protect the people that I care about, right? It's kind of a, yeah, the best way I could explain it is like a priority shift. And he's feeling good that he was able to, like, you know, protect Marcus and Aiden. Or, I mean, Marcus and Cody. And, you know, he's coming into his own as sort of like a person amidst all of this mist stuff and like rifts and, you know, yeah, it's all like he's zooming out a bit. Like he's seeing the bigger picture.
Feel just like not. Kind of instinctively, but kind of not. Your hand just kind of reaches up to your neck, and you feel like the handprint that she, because that's still visible at that moment where she was like, the bellbot was choking you out as you're having this conversation.
Yeah, he could have died too, right? He was like literally almost dead. Because that was, I think, aside from Victor, like the biggest threat that we all faced. You know, like, we came pretty close with Victor and the people in the...
Victor is also more head-on for Aiden. That was very a personal experience to Aiden having to face.
Yeah.
We provided support for sure, but he was right up in front of it.
And it's just like, damn, we were all in danger. And, like, we couldn't rely on our you know, mist powers. It's just like, it was scary, you know?
And, all right, what's going through Marcus's head?
Marcus would be reflecting on his mortality, because, I mean, he almost died. It wasn't just the fact that he almost died. He almost died by his own hand.
Yeah, at his own hand.
What felt like through no, like, volition of his own. It was just kind of happening. And he kind of thinks to, like, the sword talking to him and taunting him and getting, you know, the bloodlust that can potentially overcome him. But he's, while reflecting on his mortality, he also thinks about, you know, what Cody did to save him, what Aiden did to save him. And he's reflecting on his, like, you know, why was I given this sword? He kind of finds new, like,
renewed rejuvenation. I like it. New word. Yeah, put it down.
Exactly.
Rejuvenated, athleisureism, collashing. All new words here.
God, I am a fucking word salad. Jesus. He's feeling a new rejuvenation for his, and why he was given his sword. He's kind of more than solacing it for Mass Effect 2. He's kind of like, well, had to be me. Someone else might have gotten it wrong.
I hate you. You take that back right now.
I love that. Oh my God.
You take that back right now.
Even though Solace is like my least liked character. Like,
video games don't make me cry. That one fucked me up.
And someone else might have gotten it wrong. And it's not from a lack of, like, overconfidence or even, like, arrogance. It's just, like, oh, someone else could have gotten this sword, and they couldn't have had a level of a head as Marcus. They could have even been, you know, inherently evil.
They could have let it win, yeah.
So it's like, no, even if that's not the true reason, that is the reason Marcus is now telling himself. It's like, no, I have to be the one to wield this thing. I have to keep it under control. Because if I don't, like, this thing will just, like, it will, through other people, go on a rampage.
I feel super valid.
All right. So I'll say, as you're going through these thoughts in your head, you're about halfway there. And if Aiden or Marcus wants to break Cody out of her mind palace for a second, you can at this moment.
Actually, no, it would probably be, I was going to say, who's sitting in the front, but I remember Aiden sitting in the front because he big boy.
Aiden, a big boy.
Yeah.
And, he needs the leg tall. Room. Yeah, he needs the leg room.
I do. I really do. Like, IRL too. Yeah, and I kind of see Cody sort of driving. I'm just like, hey, you all right?
I mean, do you want the honest answer or the answer that's going to make you guys feel better?
We'll take the honest answer. And I kind of look at Marcus. I'm like, yeah, we'll take
it. She's going to like look in the rear view for a second at Marcus for any sort of like nod or whatever.
Yeah, no, he looks back and he kind of nods like, I would prefer honesty.
She kind of sighs a bit and says, I have no idea why Marcus lets me treat him like shit. You guys put up with so much shit from me.
And I kind of go like, oh, well, I mean, we're big boys. Right, Marcus? We can handle a little mean.
Yeah, it's all in good fun. We know you don't mean it.
I'm going to throw in. Sorry. No, I was going to say. I was going to say, because we also... just out of character really quick. What we also discussed and what happened was Cody dropped a Logos and she now had a new Mythos to replace that. So I'll say as Cody is saying these words, Marcus and Aiden, you get that feeling that something is a little different now with Cody. Like, it's still the same person you know, but not at the same time almost.
Yeah. She'll just kind of shake her head and be like, it's different. It's a bit, like, sure, people tease each other and they're mean and whatnot, but, like, Marcus, I dehumanize you half the time. I pretend you don't exist. That's not okay. Turning into my dad.
Sorry, go ahead.
She just says, I'm turning into my dad, and just kind of, like, goes quiet for a minute.
Cody, you're not your old man, first of all. And second of all, I get it, okay? Like, we're in high school. There's a social pecking order to these things. I think it's bullshit, but I get it.
And well, it's not happening anymore.
Are you? What do you mean?
I mean, it's not happening anymore. I'm not gonna keep doing this shit. It's stupid.
That's what I was saying.
She's gonna give Aiden a look like, really? But she kind of like smirks a bit and shakes her head and says, it's just not happening anymore. I don't care. They want to make fun of me, they can make fun of me. I'm just gonna surpass them in the regionals and the cheerleading shit. Better than them.
That's what I like to hear. Look, honestly, Marcus is right. The high school pecking order, hierarchy, pyramid scheme, it's all stupid, right? And sure, I can say that because, like, I guess I'm one of the most popular, but, like, I don't care about any of that. Like, everyone has their problems that they're working through, right? Nobody really knows what people are going through in high school. Trust me, I've been through the ringer. And junior, freshman, sophomore, all through the whole thing. You know, I've seen it. I've seen, you know, people get torn apart because of this, I don't know, fake social ladder that people want to climb. And honestly, I think the one thing that all of us could just unify under is just math and science sucks and everyone hates it. Okay? Like,
she just like snorts like right. I don't know. Science has never been that bad, but I guess that's just because I'm weird.
Marcus is like, well, I am okay with science. Math is more my forte. Treasurer, don't forget that.
Ew, gross.
I am a numbers guy.
She kind of giggles.
And look, anyone that tries to mess with you because of whatever reason, they'll have to go through me and Marcus. So
yes, let's not forget he will pogo stick them to their mental demise.
Exactly.
Boing, boing, stab.
But to prove it, I've got something I want to show you guys when we get back to the house.
Oh, okay.
So you all arrive at the house. Did we say the private garage elevator takes you back up to the house? Both,
yeah, there's definitely an internal garage that would bring you upstairs, yeah.
And the door dings, y'all step out, and Jeeves is right there, and he's, sirs and madam, how are you? Oh, good bloody hell, what happened to you, madam?
I'm fine. It's fine.
He immediately wraps his arm around you, and he starts to lead you away towards like a little to the side room of the kitchen to where there's a steak kit. And he points to Marcus and Aiden like, you two, stay here. I'll be right back and take care of the madam. And he leads you away from Cody, from Aiden and Marcus.
She's just like, it's fine. Just like 2 minutes inside of her, I'll be fine. But like, she's not fighting him on it.
But it ain't working.
It's like, Jeeves sits Cody down in the chair in the kitchen as he rifles for the first aid kit. He's like, madam, with all due respect, shut up.
She just like shakes her head like, it's fine.
And he's gonna start to work on kind of cleaning you up and fixing up your hands. And as that's going on, we're gonna cut over to Aiden and Marcus as y'all are still just standing there seeing this happen. And Aiden, your phone starts to ring.
And I, take out my pocket. I'm like, one second. I look at it.
It's your mom calling you.
Oh. Hey, Marcus, I'm gonna take this call really quickly. I'll just stay here. And I sort of walk outside of the garage, and I answer it. I'm just like, hello?
Hey, honey. Haven't heard from you in a while. Just wanted to call and see how you were doing.
Oh, hey. Yeah, everything is good. I'm just hanging out with some friends at school. What's going on? Like, is everything okay?
Just really quick question. Would your parents know about Cody and Marcus? Would they know you hang out with them, or...
I haven't talked with them since, like, the campaign started, right? So, I would say they know about them, but I've mentioned them, like, briefly. You know what I mean? And they're always so busy in their work that whenever I, bring them up, they're just like, oh, yeah, okay, that's, that's nice. Like, glad you're hanging out with your friends kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Just, like, uninterested parents, but, like, feigning the surface level amount of...
At least they're glad you have a social life. It's like, at least he's got friends. He's fine.
You just hear, your mom's like, oh, that's nice. Were those two you just happened to mention that one day?
Yeah, same friends.
Are they good people, at least?
Yeah, no, they're really cool. Marcus, the treasurer, we're pretty close. He schedules events for the school and whatnot. And Cody Hollowell, you probably heard of Principal Hollowell.
Huh, that's interesting. Well, I'm happy to hear that. Saw the latest article on the school site about your recent win in the swim competition.
Oh, yeah, no, that was awesome. I was gonna wait until I come back home to visit to tell you guys, but yeah, no, we're actually doing pretty good. Well, I haven't really done much practicing. It was Spirit Week and it's a pretty crazy weekend, but I'm gonna try to go back to my schedule on like this week, but Yeah, things have been going good.
Your mom's just kind of silent for a moment, and then she says, Aiden, I know I can't speak for your father. You know what kind of a man he can be sometimes. But if it means anything, I am so proud of you. That even if you don't want to do what we do, you're following your own path and your own dreams. And I couldn't ask for you as my son to do anything more than that.
Oh, like, thanks. I know you guys are super into your work, and I'm sure Dad will come around at some point.
I've actually I stepped down a little bit from Helix. I don't work there as much as I used to. Your father, you know how he is, how he can be obsessed with his work. I just felt like I was putting more time into that than the family. So I hope you can forgive me for all that.
And he's kind of shocked, because that's like, I know she didn't say that she quit, but she's just like kind of reconsidering her time allocation. And it's like, he's never seen that, because like in the past, his mom and dad were like a power duo, right? They were like really into working for Helix and like, you know, bioengineering, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's kind of a shock to him, and he kind of goes quiet for a second, but then he goes, oh, that's really cool. Or, I mean, not cool, but like, it's interesting. I have a question, Mom.
Yes?
Do you know anything about an out of commission Helix lab that might have, I don't know, like anything that happened there at some point? There's rumors going around in the school about, like, I don't know, something going on about it.
So, like,
I don't have as much security clearance anymore as I used to since I stepped down from my last position. So a lot of stuff I don't have the privy of knowing anymore. So as far as I know, I haven't heard anything of the sort. I'm sorry I couldn't be a more help, son.
Do you think Dad might?
Maybe. But you know what a stickler he is about leaking stuff from outside the company.
Yeah. But I'll probably give him a call later. Maybe he'll know anything. I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah, but enough with the sad stuff. Now tell me, which of the two are you going to ask out first?
And kind of goes like,
Mom, oh. I'm breaking, I can't.
Yeah, I'm losing signal. That's
going through a tunnel.
And as soon as we're going to cut from that moment with Aiden, at the same time, does off in Marcus watch Cody get taken away, watch as Aiden stepped away. Marcus, your dad calls you now.
Oh, God. He pick up. What do you need, Pops?
Hey, champ, just checking up on you. Your mom and I hadn't seen you in a couple days.
Yeah, sorry about that. I tried to keep you in the loop on everything that's happened. It's been a pretty busy weekend with student council and hanging out with Cody and Aiden.
You still hanging out with them?
Well, yeah, they're my friends. Who else would I hang out with?
Just friends?
Just friends. I promise.
Yeah, you can tell from the silence there for the moment that it doesn't sound like your dad believes you for a moment at first. But it's like, well, they both seem like good people, and I know your mom definitely is curious to know if you ask one of them out or not, but either way, or at least we're happy that you have good friends, good people around you.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Pops. Have you heard from Sis lately?
Marcus. Okay, out of character, you're going to have to remind me about Marcus's sister. I completely forgot that Marcus has a sister for a split second there.
Yeah, he has a sister. She's away at college. She's a she's like a proper like academic.
All right. What would she be studying?
Probably.
I was gonna say, I remember that you mentioned a sister, but I don't think you ever went into like what she was in there for or anything.
Yeah, no detail.
What about a finance student? Like, she's like an actual like finance major.
Oh God, the whole family's into math.
Oh no, mom and pops are. Mom's a social worker. No, dad's a social worker. Mom's a nurse.
Nursing still involves math.
Yeah, but it's not like finance math. It's slightly different.
She's like an accountant or something. I don't know.
She'd be getting like her business degree.
I guess.
All right, so your dad's just like, well, she sends the occasional message every now and then, but you know how she is. She's head so buried in her studies, always with the tests and the finals, and God, I don't even remember college like that when I was her age. And he's just going on this spiel now about colleges today and everything, the price of college. He's just going on this long spiel to you right now.
Mark is introduced to these spills. He kind of just like, he lets him ramble. He kind of like just pulls the phone from his ear and just lets him ramble for a second. Like, he's used to it.
And then he just kind of stops, but yeah, I'm just, sorry, dad moment there. But have you been, how are you doing yourself these days? You feeling okay? You feeling okay, champ?
Yeah, I'm feeling great, actually. I can't complain.
All right. You coming home? Or you staying there again?
I'll probably be staying here again.
All right. Well, I'll have one more night there, but we expect you to kind of come back home for during the school week. Okay.
I understand, Pops.
All right. Well, we both love you, champ. I'll talk to you again later.
All right, Pops. I'll talk to you.
And then we're going to cut from there to at the same time again. We're now back to Cody and Jeeves, as Jeeves is cleaning her hand. Just making sure she doesn't need any stitches or anything, and then just starts bandaging her up. And Jeeves is like, "So, madam, got some fine gentlemen around you these days."
She'll kind of snort a bit and say, "They never really left."
Are you going to pick one of them, or are you going to, you know?
She shrugs and says, "I mean, whatever happens, happens. We literally almost died in that place, so we'll probably be sticking it out for the long haul."
What? It's like, I get the feeling that a lot of stuff happened there. And Jeeves is also getting the feeling that this is not the same Cody that he saw, like, just before y'all left.
Yeah, she kind of nods and she'll give him the play-by-play. It's not like he's somebody she's never trusted with, like, exploring that other side of her anyway. Because, like, you know, how do you explain to somebody who spends a lot of time around you why you suddenly disappear in and out of mirrors around the house? Or why they're having to clean up, you know, generally her bloody handprints? So he probably is after with a lot of that anyway. So she'd probably just give him the play-by-play of everything that happened.
Yeah. I think at this moment it's funny. I just imagine Cody forgets that Jeeves was like a gatekeeper with all this knowledge at the moment. And then Jeeves is just like, you know, I remember the first time that I saw you use your powers to work. You were just a little girl just jumping in and out of mirrors around the house. Just happy as could be. And I would falling around with a spray bottle and a rag, having to get all the handprints off the mirrors.
An unfortunate side effect, but eh.
And he kind of holds your now bandaged hands for a moment in his, as he just looks at you like an actual father would at his daughter. And he's just like, I never wanted to replace your father. But if I ever had a daughter, I would hope she'd be a lot like you.
Well, I hope she treats her friends better the first time and doesn't have to redo it.
Forgiveness from others is one thing, but forgiving yourself is sometimes the worst thing that can be hard to go through.
Sure, Mom. And so it's going to take time, but yeah, I'll get there.
And Jesus is just going to pull you into a big hug.
She'll hug him back.
All right. Well, I got your hands as bandaged as best as I could. Just make sure you take care of them. No more grabbing swords. And
no promises.
No grabbing swords of any kind, and he gives you a wink when he says that. And then he's like, go join your friends. I'm sure they're waiting for you.
Nods and comes out probably on like the tail end of oh my god, brain. Marcus like finishing the phone call with her with his dad. And just being like, okay.
And I feel Aiden just, at the same time, the door opens, and there's Aiden with just a completely red face after his mom probably grilling him about who he's going to ask out first.
Yeah, like, you probably hear, like, I can't hear you. Oh, my goodness. I'll call you, like, I'm underground. I'm underground. Cody's
garage is, like, so, so far down.
Yeah, I can't hear, and I'm like, yeah, I'll call you back. Love you too, Mom. Okay, bye. And I hang up, and I'm like...
So, new tattoo, and you're a chameleon now.
Yeah, it seems as that is the case. And he does, like, the anime head rub.
I think what's funny is we make fun of that in anime, but I know people who do that nervously anyway, so it's, like, pretty accurate. But she kind of... like tucks her hair back a bit and says, well, I did promise to show you guys something, so let's do this before we go get dinner.
Oh, right.
And she's going to bring you guys to one of the rooms in her wing of the house, so kind of like underneath the bedroom area where she usually like brings you guys up at night. And she's going to open one of the doors, and there's like a whole ass game room, probably like with a mini theater, like True Mansion style.
I was wondering where this room was.
What do you mean you were wondering where it was? She just like gives him this look like, what do you fucking mean? I'm sitting here exposing I'm a nerd and you fucking knew what?
Kelly, you live in a house that can fit like, I'm going to guess at least 5 more houses in it. There's always a room like this in here.
She just rolls her eyes.
And like Aiden is like, he's like kind of geeking out. He's just like, dude, wait, is that a theater? And he like goes to sit in the chairs and like, dude, they recline. The chairs
recline. There's a fucking footrest. What?
Bro, it's got a fucking cup holder.
It's a cup holder.
I should not have taken a sip of my soda. It's got a cup holder.
Yeah, and he's just like, and it's a game room, right? It's just like there's pools.
Yeah, game mini theater. We're talking. She's probably got like, you know, the systems and everything like that too.
It's like 3 computers. It's just like, dude, these computers are decked out with like 3020s.
Dude, these also Mark will look at you like, you know what that is?
Yes, of course I know what that is, dude. It's like
4080 graphics card, and all you've got installed on this one is Minecraft.
Yeah. It's like at this point you realize that Aiden is like secretly like really into like nerdy shit too. He's like, yeah, no, like he knows a lot about computers and stuff like that. Just from like his like he might not be good at science and math and like into tech stuff, but like he's into his computers and like he knows stuff and he does
he knows
like
the basics.
Yeah, he knows the basics. Like he knows what makes
which blows Marcus's fucking mind.
Like he knows like what makes a good computer, right? So
yeah,
Marcus is sending actual like anime face fall like gua.
But yeah, there's like actual movies and games and like stuff like that. There's probably like a couple like shelves of comic books and fucking shit. But yeah,
Aiden is doing the anime bouncing the nerd around room. The room. Like you know when like characters like bounce around the room, it's like oh, what's this?
They pop here? In
like,
different points of the shit. Yeah.
You go.
Little but, chibi Aiden jumping around the room.
And I'm just like, damn, this is really cool. Cody, like, what, is this, like, for us?
It's been mine since I was, like, 13.
Damn.
AKA, like, you know, this year.
Oh, lucky.
Jeez.
Well, I had my own stuff in my room, but then, you know, I wanted a nice big antique mirror, and I wanted a bigger bed. And a bigger dresser. And then Dad got the ugly painting put in. So I just took over another room.
And Aiden goes like, wait, what painting?
The one that you guys saw of me in my room. That I keep covered all the time.
It's the giant tarp.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, the blown up cheerleading photo. the photo shoot.
But remember, Marcus is the only one who like peeked underneath it.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't know what.
He tried to rip the top off. He's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it was just like, there's a picture Dad blew up in my room when I started doing cheerleading for the high school and, you know, like got into the actual squad and shit. It's a lot.
Is Aiden gonna run to the room to go see the picture for himself?
No, I'll just take their word for it. I'm just like, okay.
He can see it when they go up later if he wants to.
I bet that just that if it was that scene, just to look at his face and Cody's like, "Don't you?" And Aiden just takes off running.
Yeah, he can look when they like head back up for like night that night or whatever. But she'll just kind of nod and be like, "It's just the nerd room."
Yeah, if Cody's going through the effort of covering it, I don't think Aiden will like care to look. It's just like, oh, okay, it's there, but like it's just like it's not important, you know. If it's not important to her, it's not really important to me to find out, you know. So
yeah,
fair enough.
I'll be like, damn, whole game room to yourself. Nice.
Marcus, well, I'm leaving. Why do you even play?
Depends what console. And she's gonna look at him like, I've got several. What game do you, I like playing on what?
Okay, we'll fast forward a bit yeah, from here. So, like, watching movies, playing games. Eventually, Alice makes you another good Southern dinner that you all just chow down on. And then it gets to Jeez will come back as y'all are probably finishing dinner. It's like, all right. I hate to spoil y'all's fun, but you do have school tomorrow.
Right.
Right, that's true. Yeah, I think for now, I'm actually going to go back to my place to sleep. I came back to see, you know, like, what Cody was going to show us, but as far as, like, you know, sleeping and, like, getting ready for school, like, all my clothes are at my house, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think I'm actually going to go back to my place, too.
Yeah, Marcus will probably have to head back home. He thought about it and was like, oh, wait, my stuff's at my house. I got to, like, double back.
And Jesus is like, I will happily drive you two gentlemen back to your places. I will make sure to get there very safe, madam.
Sweet. And yeah, we're kind of just, yeah, we're like, yeah, Cody, this is, like, a really, it's a really sweet gift. And, you know, Aiden kind of tells her, like, you know, we believe you when you say that you don't want to be that kind of person anymore. And even though you're making an effort to change, like, we still just like you the way you are, you know, like, you're cool with us. But it is a good thing that you're sort of reconsidering, you know, your place in all of this. The high school fiasco, because you're a good person and you do deserve nice things.
She kind of chuckles and nods and says, trust me, you guys aren't getting any different of me. It's just I'll be doing it at school now too.
Gotcha. And at least I head out with Jeeves and Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus would say, it's going to be interesting to see you just around school now like this, but nevertheless, I do appreciate it, Cody. And without, like, no words, no after that, nothing else, no hesitation, he would just hug you.
End of part one. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mysteries Unknown podcast. The background music you hear is from the official City of Mist soundtracks made by Son of Oak Studios. The content warning at the beginning was done by Ryan Bravo of Odd Loot. Any other characters and content mentioned on here belong to their rightful creators and owners. My name is Hunter the MC, and join me next time as we investigate the City of Mist.